Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for joining us coast to coast This Week in America. The delightful new children's book, Harley and George by Wendy Cordier, teaches us that we're never too young to learn how to overcome prejudice. And if we can stop judging others, we just might make wonderful friends. Wendy has schizoaffective disorder and anxiety disorder, disabled because of the diagnoses. She also loved training and working with dogs and has earned her certification as a certified dog obedience instructor, graduating with honors. Wendy plans to open her own business as a professional dog trainer. Besides an animal lover, Wendy is focusing on her art by attending Washburn University. And Wendy Cordier, author of Harley and George, is our guest on This Week in America. Hi, Wendy. Welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Hello. Hi. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you for joining us to talk about the book Harley and George. It is so well done. It's a very simple message, but boy, one that we all have to pay attention to. And suddenly it seems like in the world we're really not. We're judging other people and we really need not to do that. And you're reaching out to a young audience with this book, Harley and George. What inspired you to write the book? Where did this idea for the book come from?
Well, I was actually, my dog, Harley, and here he is, Harley, come here.
There's Harley. We can see him on the video.
It was my dog, Harley, and my pet rat, George, who inspired me to write these stories, and they were actually part of many stories that I wrote for my granddaughter, Alice, my granddaughter, Alice, who lives in Oregon. And I wrote them because we live so far apart that I wanted a way to reach out and share my life with her. And my life, you know, I'm an animal person, so my life centered around my animals. So for her to get to know me, she needed to get to know my animals. And so I would watch my animals and just make stories of their lives and how they interacted together. And, you know, I could say that they were, I just said it in a playful way.
Well, yes, you know? Yes. And a very colorful way, the way the book is illustrated. It is so well done and a powerful message for young people. And we need to read this book with them because it's a powerful message for adults as well. Harley and George by Wendy Cordier. If you're Googling, that's C-O-R-D-A-R. Book available, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. You say that animals inspired you to write this story. What did you mean by that? Talk about that. You obviously watched the interaction of the animals. And it was much bigger than just them playing with each other, wasn't it?
Well, animals, as I said, are very important to me. Some people are people watchers, and I'm an animal watcher. I watch animals. And the stories that unfold when you watch the animals, it's pretty incredible. I mean, they do. You can learn all sorts of things from animals, and their stories are amazing. I mean, animals are just incredible beings. And these stories are a way, Harley and George is a true story. I mean, the animals really did behave this way. Now, of course, you know, Harley wasn't really prejudiced, but prejudice was innate in the story because poor George. George was a rat. And people are prejudiced against rats. They just took one look at poor little George and they said, ew, a big fat rat, you know? And it wasn't fair to George. George was a wonderful little pet. And he was affectionate and sweet and friendly. I mean, George would lick you like a little dog. You know, rats groom themselves. And so they groom you too. And it's that tiny little tongue. It's just so sweet. And it wasn't fair to George because George was not that animal. So
it's a great way to start the story with the interaction. And again, you do such a wonderful job with the illustration as well, an author. Illustrator Wendy Cordier is our guest on the program. When you wrote Harley and George, as well as the other stories you wrote for your granddaughter, did you illustrate all of them? You've done a very nice job, and I talked about the art, and we'll get to that here in a little bit, but talk about illustrating the stories. That adds so much more, doesn't it? The words are well done and then enhanced by the story, by the illustrations.
Well, the illustrations, yes. When I was a kid, my sisters and I, we used to sit around and make our own homemade books out of notebooks and binders and stuff. And I thought that was so fun that I wanted to share that with my granddaughter. I thought it would be cool to make her a homemade book. So I sat down and I started to make a homemade book. So I went down to Walmart and I got this this journal. And it wasn't a sketchbook or anything, but I liked the cover and it didn't have lines on the paper. It was just plain white paper in there. And so I said I should write this journal, and I illustrated the whole thing. I wrote all the stories. Well, the animals wrote the stories for me. I just watched them play along, and then I would illustrate. And see, I have so much fun just playing along with the animals. I mean, they delight me, the whole thing. And that, I think it comes through with the artwork, this delight the animals inspire. And yes, I illustrated the whole thing, and it took me, the stories are easy. The animals, they just flowed right out in front of me. But the artwork, it took me 3 years to fill up that old notebook.
Wow. It's just, it's amazing the process that went into Harley and George and anything else that you've written. We'll talk about that in a second. But do you still have that old notebook?
Yeah, I do, man. I've been hauling that thing around for years. And it's had a hard existence, I would tell you. When I came from California to Kansas, it got stuffed in the door, the pocket of the door. And my roommate at the time, Lisa, spilled soda all over it. And then I wasn't feeding the cat Cersei fast enough. And, you know, she gets kind of, Cersei's kind of acerbic. And so she got a little pissed at me. And she chucked it off the dresser into the dog's water. So, you know, the thing's got kind of damaged. It's so old and it's beat up. But I love that old notebook because that old notebook is a labor of love. It's a labor of love in two different ways. It's a labor of love because it's for my daughter and my granddaughter. And it's a labor of love because it chronicles the lives and stories of my animals. And then those are the most important things in my life to me.
And anybody that's an animal owner will relate to that. And they'll be thinking, I wish I would have done that and maybe recorded some of the great memories you've had over the years with animals. You've got sort of a history book, don't you? Sort of a family journal as to
the animals. Yeah, and it's so fun. It's so fun. Yes. And I delight every time I read that book.
And if the book could talk, it's actually been through a lot and seen a lot. So there are a lot of stories, and it's a good thing you've been able to hang on to that. Talk a little bit about other stories that you've written. Have you written other stories?
Yes, I have. I have 11 stories written in total. And then I have a whole bunch of other stories just sketched out. And, you know, more stories are being written every day because my animals, they keep on living and they keep on interacting and they keep on, the stories keep on playing around right in front of me. And, you know, who knows what new developments will happen today. Every day is a new day and a new story. It's the coolest thing.
You know, if you have a writer's block in your case, all you need to do is just sit around for a couple of hours, watch the animals interact, and you can go back and finish a story because you've got so much.
It's not even my own animals. I sit and there's stories happening outside my window with the wildlife. The robin in my neighborhood, he talks about Peter and Gilbert. I don't know. Peter and Gilbert must be rabbits out there. So I have stories playing about Peter and Gilbert and Mr. Robin. It's funny.
You know, it is because they all have different personalities. And if you stop to listen and to watch, you really have a fondness just to, you know, go to the park, you feed the squirrels, you do it a couple times. I swear they know we're coming and they come after us. And we end up talking to squirrels at the park, but we enjoy that. And
animals definitely talk back. Well, yeah, they talk back in body language and expression and
Yeah, they really do. Harley and George is the book we're talking about by Wendy Cordar. That's C-O-R-D-A-R. Book is available wherever books are sold. The link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. This book, Harley and George. You mentioned you've got some other stories you're working on. Are you going to publish any more about Harley and George? You've almost got like a series that you could do with this book.
Oh, yes. I plan to publish all of them, all the stories told and untold, because this whole thing has just been so much fun. I have so much fun watching the animals and having the stories happen. I have so much fun drawing the artwork. The artwork just, I love to paint. I love to draw. And then it's just, the animals just delight me. So the whole thing is just so much fun. Yes, I'm definitely going to continue to publish.
If you watch the video version of this, if you just Google YouTube and This Week in America, Wendy Kodar, you'll see that. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and hit videos, you'll see that as well. You will see Harley, who's apparently aware that you're talking about him because he keeps trying to get in the camera shot over there. You'll see Harley coming to life as well. Tell me a little bit more about yourself. You touched on that as a child. I know growing up in the Northern California hills and being outdoors, and your living room was the outdoors, was the trees, the forest. Talk about growing up, that impact that that's had on you all of your life.
Well, you know, I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
Yeah, what was the impact growing up in Northern California have? What impact did that have on your life? I'm thinking, you talked before about you're outside, you're out with nature, you're out interacting with animals, the pets, yes, and the wild animals. What impact did that really shape who Wendy is, isn't it? Didn't it?
Oh, yes, it definitely did. Well, that is an interesting question. What effect did it have on my life? I don't know. It just gave me a delight for nature. An appreciation for the world around me, an appreciation for more, the wider world, not just the human world. Everybody talks about the world and they mean humanity. And I see a wider world. I see humanity, and I don't know if that's necessarily just raised from California, but you know, I went out there and I just played wild with the animals and the wildlife, and had pet snakes and rabbits and goats, and I mean, it's just, I don't know, it's
great,
giving me like I said, a wider view of the world around me.
A great way to go through life. And you're so aware of your surroundings. So often we go through life, we're in such a hurry to get wherever we're going, we don't see what's around us. We don't look down. We don't look up. We don't really enjoy what's there in nature. And Wendy's been able to capture that in her book, Harley and George, a delightful new children's book available wherever books are sold. Tell me a little bit more about yourself. I mentioned the art background that you have as well. You have a love of animals, a love of art. Where did that come from?
Well, you know, my family we're very artistic. I mean, I have four sisters, no brothers, but we just drew my whole life. So it was only natural for me to pick up a pencil from the moment I could pick up a pencil.
Yes.
And, we used to just sit around in front of the television in the evenings, watching TV and drawing. And we just drew all the time. And we challenged each other to draw. And art was a very big deal. And I just have drawn my whole life. And I had a little bit of art education, but I haven't had much. It's mostly self-taught and so that it's been a lifelong dream of mine to go to college and get some more art education. So that's why I went and signed up to Washburn University for the art classes. I'm going for the degree in fine arts in studio art. And well, it's exciting. That's exciting.
It is exciting. And the best of luck with that. This will be an exciting journey ahead for you in working on that. I mentioned the fact that you got the certified dog obedience instructor, graduating with honors. How much fun is that to go through that course and to be able to help other people now?
Oh, that's wonderful. I mean, I've always really been good with animals. I've been told over and over that I communicate well with dogs, and because I've trained dogs my whole life and worked with professional dog trainers, and just I had a natural innate ability to train dogs and work with them. And it is about communication. Yeah, it's really great to be able to help other people. It makes me feel really, really good to be able to do that. And Harley's great helping me do that.
Well, let's talk
And
about her. Yeah, I did. To have Harley there, and you graduated with honors. What a distinction to be able to get the certification, graduate with honors. Harley's a big part of your life. Tell me a little bit about Harley. Give me a little background on him.
okay, well, Harley was found as a stray. So he's basically a rescue dog. He's an English pointer and he's 9 years old. He's my servant, he's my licensed service dog, so he helps me with my disabilities. He's also my demo dog for my dog training classes, and he helps demonstrate the cues and help people understand, how to do the
Yes.
cues. And he's just my best friend. He's the best dog in the whole world. I've had a lot of dogs in my life. I mean, there's been very few times in my life when I have not had a dog. But in all those dogs, I've only had two dogs of a lifetime. One of them is Harley. He's
That's
just the best dog ever.
well, that's amazing, and I can tell that passion is there for both ways. To see Harley getting in there to make sure you're okay, and doing this interview to be there for support during the conversation today. And the book is Harley and George. Tell me about George.
Okay, George, I got from a pet store. And he was going to be snake food, so you could say I rescued him too.
Yes.
And George, he's was just a typical pet rat. And I had pet rats as a child, so that's why I went and got another one, because they're just wonderful pets. George, I'm going to tell you a funny story about George. The first time George met Cersei the cat, he kind of offended her because he was so friendly. He just waltzes right up to her without a by your leave or proper introduction. And Cersei is very proper and refined and reformed. And so she was like, "Well, honey, never." And so she's all offended by it, how forward he is. And so she turns around and turns her back on him. Well, poor George. He'd never met a cat before. And here she presented her tail to him. He'd never seen a cat's tail before. And in his opinion, tails don't look like that. Tails are long and pink and have very little hair on them. So this must not be a tail. This must be something like a feather boa or something. He's like, "Wow, this is really nice. I think I'll take this home and make a bed out of it. It
Ooh,
would make a very
ooh.
nice bed." So he picks it up. He starts to run off with it.
Oh.
Quite to his surprise, it's still attached to the cat. And Cersei, of course, is very offended by that. So she leaps up and yanks the tail of it. "How dare you?" And George is like looking around like, "What just happened?" And I had not been videotaping that because, the first time the cat meets the rat, you gotta kind of watch him, and I hadn't had the camera. So I didn't videotape it that time. And of course they never repeated the thing because after George had discovered that the tail was actually part of the cat, he never did it again. So my poor little George.
That is a funny story. Our guest is Wendy Cordar talking about Harley and George. That is her new book, the children's book, available wherever books are sold. And go to Amazon, Barnes and Noble, order. And you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us as well. In the book, you talk about prejudice. There we go. Harley's up there with you. We talk about prejudice. Have you suffered any form of prejudice yourself? Are you able to relate to that?
Yes, actually, unfortunately, I have suffered a form of prejudice because I have schizoaffective disorder and an anxiety disorder. On occasion, I can act kind of odd. And people, I swear, people will, odd behavior, I'm afraid they instantly think drug use.
Yeah,
And,
yes.
you know, they. Their attitude just totally changes. And they'll be really nasty. All of a sudden they'll be really nasty. And let me give you an example. Okay, the other day I was at the doctor's. Now, I was in a car accident several years ago, and I had pins and plates in my ankle to hold it all together. And it's and then I fell off. That was all healed. And then I fell off the porch and broke my leg, and it started swelling and causing me problems. So they were like, "Well, we don't know what's wrong with it, but you can't do a soft tissue scan because of the pins and plates and metal in there.
Yes.
So they went ahead and took all the metal out. And then just a few months ago, it started swelling and causing me a lot of pain. I mean, a lot of pain again. So I went back to the doctor. And this time, though, I had started a medication called Vraylar. And the Vraylar made me very manic. Very manic. Which means I was extremely hyper. And it was causing me to not be able to sleep very well. And unfortunately, with medication and the lack of sleep, it was making me even worse. I don't know why, but when I get manic, a lack of sleep will make me rev up even higher. It's like my body goes into hyperdrive.
Yes.
The tiniest little effort, it just throws everything I've got at energy-wise at it. So I just overdo it. And trust me, it's exhausting. You wouldn't know it to look at me, but it's exhausting. But at any rate, the doctor and his staff took one look at me, and they instantly thought, drug user. They thought, drug user, she's here trying to con us to get payment. Even though I had a history with them of chronic pain and problems with that ankle, I had never been in there after painkillers. I'd never asked for stronger medication. They should have known. They took the metal out knowing they couldn't do a soft tissue scan. This was all should be in the chart.
Yes.
Plus, he had a list of my medications right in front of him. So he knew I took psych meds. And I was talking about tardive dyskinesia and the fact that I was... that I took psych meds because the tardive dyskinesia makes me twist my ankles. And of course, that's very painful when you have pain in your ankle. So all that together, he should have known that I had mental problems. But he was sneering at me. He wasn't going to listen to a word. And I was really in agony, you know? And I didn't care what kind of medication he gave me. All I wanted was relief. I wanted help. That's all I wanted. And it was obvious when every fiber in his being was like, no,
yes,
you're lying to me, you're conning me, and I'm not going to help you at all. And you know what? That's not fair. Here I am being honest. And it took me a minute too, you know? I was like, what in the world is wrong with you? Something strange is going on here. What's wrong with these people? And then I went,
yes,
I get it. Because it wasn't just the doctor. It was just the staff too. They were all sniffing and sort of whispering behind their hands at me. And at any rate, the doctor was finally, he went and started touching the ankle and he thought he felt something move. Something was wrong in the ankle. He finally just happened to feel something wrong in the ankle. And I think it was just lucky chance that he did.
Yes.
He acted like it was, but I swear his attitude 180 degrees chip. He was totally different. Totally different. He stopped sneering at me, stopped acting like that, and he kind of went, uh-oh.
Yes.
And then he ordered an MRI, and it was discovered, yeah, I have a torn ligament in my ankle. Now, but it's not fair to take a look at a person and judge them by a stereotype.
No.
Or judge them by their appearance, okay? It's not fair to me to be judged when I'm trying to be honest and straightforward with you, and I'm looking you straight in the eye. I mean, it is not fair for you to judge me like that, because when you do that, I know you're trying to protect yourself from a person treating you wrong, but what you're actually doing is preventing me from treating you right. And that's not fair to you,
yes,
and it's not fair to me. And you know what? We both go away upset.
And that's a medical professional.
That's why prejudice is wrong.
Yeah, that's a medical professional that's doing that as well.
Yeah, that's
on top
of
everything.
And trust me, it's not just medical professionals. I've had this happen from lots of other people. Just because a person behaves oddly does not mean that there's drug use. And if I'm being honest and straightforward, I don't know what else I can do. If you won't accept my honesty and my straightforward, an open heart, I don't know. You have tied my hands. I can't be honest and straightforward with you if you won't accept it.
Yeah, I fully understand what you're talking about and how difficult that has to be. And you addressed that so well in Harley and George. It's a very simple message. You're never too young to learn how to overcome prejudice. And if we stop judging others as was the case with Wendy in the doctor's office, we just might make wonderful friends. And I think there's a good lesson there in your story as well as the book. Wendy, congratulations on Harley and George. You've really done an excellent job writing it. The message resonates with the young listener, the young reader, as well as hopefully they'll read this book with their parents. And that the illustrations are so well done. Good luck with everything with the dog training. Good luck with the art in school, a lifelong dream. And you'll be a college student learning art at the college there at the university. You've got a lot going. Thank you so much for spending some time with us on the program today.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
It has been our pleasure. Wendy Cordar, that's Cordar, if you're Googling it, the book available wherever books are sold. I'd like to thank King Pages Press for arranging the conversation with Wendy, the author's marketing consultant. And all of the information on Wendy you'll find on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.